The Bible tells us to be salt and light in the world, and that includes the workplace. Do you reflect the character of Christ while at your work, or do your coworkers secretly wish you'd find employment elsewhere? Our host, financial planner and teacher Rob West, has a list of things you should do on the job and some things you should never do because they might harm your Christian witness. Today's edition is pre-recorded, so please hold your calls, but we have some great questions already lined up. I'm Steve Moore, Workplace Do's and Don'ts, up first, today on MoneyWise Live. Rob, it's difficult enough to be Christ-like at home. Now you're saying we have to do it at work, too?
Really? Absolutely. After your family, Steve, the workplace is maybe the most important place to show the love and character of Christ, and here's why. Unless you work in ministry, you're probably surrounded by non-believers, and you're representing Christ right there in your cubicle, perhaps. You could very well have opportunities to point others to their Savior. So think about the workplace as a mission field, because it certainly is.
Yeah, good point. Okay, well, let's start with the don'ts. What shouldn't we do on the job?
Sure, and these aren't in any particular order of priority. The first is schmoozing with the boss beyond just being courteous and respectful. It's obvious when someone's trying to butter up a supervisor to gain personal advantage, so instead, just be nice and kind to everyone. All right, here's another one, and it's something many people fall into because work can be difficult and stressful. It's going negative and complaining about the boss or work conditions. Just don't do it. It might make you feel better, but it actually depresses your coworkers, even if they're going along with it.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Complaining about work is a national pastime of sorts, yep. but believers shouldn't participate in this. Okay, what else?
Well, this next one might sound trivial, but it's very important. Don't leave messes around the workplace for someone else to clean up. Keep your work area tidy. And if you really want to make a positive impression, clean up someone else's mess in the break room or the employee refrigerator. And we all know how those can get out of control quickly.
Yeah, if you're warming up food in the microwave, clean up after yourself.
Yeah, and maybe stay away from fish.
Good one. What else do you have for us?
Well, don't ignore cubicle etiquette. Keep the noise down and don't splash on a lot of perfume or cologne. It might smell good to you, but meanwhile, others are holding their noses. Mm-hmm. And one final don't be standoffish. This one can be a little trickier, but it's important to let your coworkers know you're a part of their group. Unless something is obviously ungodly, it's okay to be part of the company culture. That means not dressing or talking in ways that make others feel uncomfortable. But of course, you should never use inappropriate language like swearing, even if others are.
That's right. And never park in the employee of the month parking space right. if you're not that person.
Okay, that's right.
Let's move on to the do's. What can we do to represent Christ on the job?
Yeah, well, one of the most important is showing a strong work ethic. That's the reason we're here in the first place. Matthew 5:16, Jesus tells us, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Well, that leads to some other do's. Do be helpful to others. Look for ways you can make your bosses' or coworkers' lives easier. Perhaps volunteer to help with a rush project, even if it's just to get takeout for lunch. Little things can have a big impact, and you want to be part of the solution, not the problem.
That's right.
Also, do let your boss know you're willing to take on extra work or responsibility. That's not only good for your Christian witness, it can also be helpful to your career goals, as are all of these do's.
Okay, what else?
Well, do let minor insults and discourtesies roll off your back. They happen in the workplace, often unintentionally. Forget about them. Again, in Matthew 5, Jesus says, "If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." And I think we can certainly apply that in a work context.
That's right. A lot of these things that we've talked about, do's and don'ts so far, really have to do a lot with attitude, don't you think?
Well, that's exactly right. I think you need to remember who you're working for. In Colossians 3, the Apostle Paul says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And that should lead, Steve, to gratitude. You know, Christ died for our sins so we might know eternal joy with him in heaven. The least we can do is present a strong witness for him in the workplace.
Great information. This is MoneyWise Live. He's Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. We're pre-recorded today, so if you hear that phone number, please don't call, but do stick around. Lots of good information ahead. And you can always email us, too. The address is questions@moneywise.org, questions@moneywise.org. We're just getting started. This is MoneyWise Live.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Hospitality. Dustin Willis and Brandon Clemens say it's the simplest way to change the world. Gospel-centered hospitality makes a powerful witnessing statement as we open our lives and homes to others. The simplest way to change the world will show you how you can be hospitable even if you don't have the space for it. Most people are more likely to step into a living room than a sanctuary, so why not read The Simplest Way to Change the World? More at moodypublishers.com.
If you're feeling that it's time to make a change in where you work, maybe you should investigate the possibility of a position with Moody Bible Institute. Moody Bible Institute is looking to fill a number of full and part-time positions in education at Moody Publishers and Moody Radio. You'll find positions in management, clerical, professional, and non-skilled labor. It may be worth your time to take a look at the more than 40 position openings available now. You'll find each job description online at moodyjobs.org. That's moodyjobs.org.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hey, we're thankful for your presence today and every day, Monday through Friday. This quick reminder that today's broadcast is pre-recorded, so please don't try to call in, but we've lined up some folks in advance with some very interesting questions, so please stick around. Let's go to St. Cloud, Minnesota first, or next. Daryl, what's on your mind?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a longtime listener. I listen to you guys pretty much every afternoon on my way home from work.
Thank you.
Yeah, not a problem. So I'm 49 years old. I was divorced about 8 years ago, and I've been living in an apartment ever since, and I'm ready to move into a house. But, you know, my credit was damaged, and I've been repairing it. Things are better. My question is, I have a 401k with about $100,000 in it, and I'm about 12 years from retirement. I can get a VA loan, so I can get zero down on a mortgage. So my question is should I pull out some and maybe put 10% down or something like that on a mortgage when I do eventually buy a house? I'm hoping to do in the spring sometime.
Yeah, Daryl, would you be borrowing this from your 401k or are you considering just taking a withdrawal?
Just taking a withdrawal, probably.
Yeah, and what is your age? You said 49?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. You know, I'd really rather you not do that for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's going to be very expensive money to get your hands on in the sense that you're going to have a 10% penalty right off the top, and then it's all going to be added to your taxable income for the year in which you take the withdrawal. So, you know, we're talking 30%+ right off the top from this money, not to mention the fact that it's then no longer available to grow for the next, you know, 15 years or so until you retire, so that you have an asset that can supplement your income. So, you know, I really don't like that idea. I also don't like the idea of you buying the home, even though the VA loan allows you to go in with no down payment. I don't recommend it. I'd prefer you to have 20%. I realize saving up 40 grand on a $200,000 home is going to take you a while. But, you know, I'd really rather you not go in without any equity. It's going to put you in a position where if the market were to take a dip, and it does periodically, keep in mind, we've been in the midst of probably the longest bull market in the housing market than we've ever seen. Will it just continue to go up from here? It could. But it also, these cycles tend to roll over. And I'd hate for you to be in a position where the housing market, either nationally or in the area where you're at, takes a dip, and now all of a sudden you're locked into this home upside down. So, you know, I really would go back to that spending plan and see what you might be able to do to reorder things in such a way that you could begin to save and put some money away that you could use for this down payment. I realize, you know, renting is not terribly appealing, and it feels like you're throwing money away every month. But at the same time, getting into a massive financial obligation with all the other expenses that come along with home ownership, especially without the readiness financially in terms of the down payment and so forth, I just, you know, I don't love that option. And again, tapping that 401k because of the associated cost with that, both in terms of the time value of money on its growth and the taxes and penalties, is just not an attractive option to me. So it's probably not what you want to hear, and I'm sorry for that, but I just don't want you to get in a tough spot and do something prematurely.
Daryl, thank you for your phone call today, and we'll pray that God gives you real wisdom and direction as you figure out what's the best road for you to take. Thanks so much. To Ohio and Susan, you're having some issues with the house payment. How can we help you there?
When we bought the house, the payment was $900. Well, since then, with taxes and stuff changing and that, now it's $1,000. And that's been very hard for us to pay. So our interest rate is 4%. And with the lower interest rate, is it worth us to refinance to try to get our payment down?
It could be, Susan. Tell me this. How long have you had this mortgage?
We've only had it for about, I think, 4 years.
Okay, and it's a 30-year mortgage?
Yeah, okay. The longest one, yeah.
Yeah, all right, and you mentioned that you're having trouble making the payment. You don't have a variable rate. That's purely because the property taxes have been increasing, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and are you all kind of going underwater each month, or, you know, if this payment was $100 or so dollars lower, would you be okay in terms of covering all of your obligations?
Pretty good.
Yeah. If you plan to stay in this home for a while and, you know, there's not an option to sell it and downsize, which I realize has a cost associated with it as well, you know, going ahead and refinancing can make some sense. You're going to have to reset this at a new 30 years. I'm not a huge fan of that, but that's the only way you're going to get this payment down. Obviously, the reduction in interest rate to, let's say, you know, 2.75%, depending upon what your credit looks like right now, combined with a new 30-year mortgage, is certainly going to take a little bit of that pressure off. But I want you to really look hard at that monthly spending plan and make sure that even with this new payment, if you were to roll in the closing costs and so forth at the lower interest rate and plan to stay in this home for a long time, I want to be sure it really fits in your budget. Normally, we would say that that principal, interest, taxes, and insurance payment should not be more than 25% of your take-home pay. And so you could do some quick math and say, okay, what do we bring home every month all in? And 25% of that should cover the principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, all of it. And then at that point, I would go out and get some quotes. I'd go to bankrate.com, find some online lenders, maybe check with your local bank. And depending on your income and depending on your credit score, if you could qualify for one of these very low rates right now that are available between 2.5% and 2.75%, you probably, if you reset this at 30 years, would see that payment come down a bit, and that would take some pressure off. But I don't want you to go through this exercise if it really doesn't fit into the budget, and really what's needed is for you to sell this property and look for something a bit less expensive. Do you follow all that, though?
Yes.
Susan, we wish you the best on that. Thank you very much. Rob, here's an email from Erica. As you suggested, Rob, we have saved up $1,000 for emergencies. We live on one irregular income. We received an inheritance, and we aren't sure if we should pay down our debt or build up our savings to cover 6 months' worth of expenses. What do you think?
So I would start by saying, when you say, Erica, pay down your debt, if you have credit cards, I'd put another $500 with that $1,000, and I'd focus on paying off those credit cards. But don't do it until you have a spending plan that you're confident you can live by, because what I don't want to see is you take this inheritance, take care of the credit cards, but then you're still living beyond your means, if in fact you are, and the credit card debt comes right back over the next 12 months. So get the spending plan in place, add $500 to your emergency fund, and then pay off the credit cards. If you don't have credit cards, and we're talking about a house payment or a car payment, then I would go ahead and boost that emergency savings all the way up to the 6 months, and then take the balance and look at where you might want to put it for the long term, saving for college, maybe retirement savings, other investments, those types of things.
Most likely that inheritance will only happen once in your life, so you want to use it carefully and prayerfully. We appreciate that email. Send us an email if you'd like, questions@moneywise.org, questions@moneywise.org. We'll be back with more MoneyWise right after this.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
I wonder when the last time was that you might have said, this whole world's gone mad. This entire world has gone nuts. It would have, for most of us, it would have been the last week. Do you ever just sit and look at the, have you ever just looked at 5 minutes of Fear Factor and gone, what? Why? Why? Anybody but me? Just sit there in amazement and think, what in the world are we watching? And just, and not just that, everywhere we turn, just when a tree has more value than an infant, what in the world? What in the world? And have you, when was the last time you just did, it's just a duh. But the world does not get that. You see, this cannot be. Just, I mean, think rationally. Think rationally. When you're thinking rational thoughts, you cannot possibly think that. But here's what we're talking about. Babylon has a way of intoxicating until we just go crazy. And that's where the world is. When the media tries to put forth an image that we literally kill ourselves trying to be, that is a lie. That is the whole concept of Babylon. The whole concept of Babylon says if you just had more of this, you would be fulfilled. You would be happy.
Beth would love for you to tune in each Tuesday night for Bible study. Classes begin at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 Central on TBN. Maybe you had to miss a Tuesday. No problem. Go to BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org. You can watch the latest episode of her television program and more. Merry Christmas from Beth Moore and the team at Living Proof Ministries.
We're MoneyWise Live, and we talk about our telephone number often, usually because we're live, but today we're pre-recorded. So if you hear a mention of the phone number, please don't call us, but you can find us online at moneywiselive.org. It's MoneyWise Live. Rob West taking your phone calls, your questions on any financial topic. Rob, I think you had something you wanted to share with our listeners.
Well, you know, Steve, we hear from so many listeners each day, really. So many of them talking about how long they've listened. Some of them just finding us recently. All just so encouraging about the chance we have together to learn God's way of handling money. And so just appreciate so much those of you who tune in each day and would like to invite you to participate with us, perhaps to partner with us to keep this program on the air. We have a wonderful team here and look forward each day to bringing you God's truth as it relates to money. And if it's beyond your tithe, you have the ability to give a gift to MoneyWise Media, we would be incredibly grateful, whether that's a monthly gift and you want to partner with us as a MoneyWise patron or give a one-time gift, however little or however much you would be able to bless the ministry with, we would be grateful. And so I just want to thank you in advance for those of you who are already partnering with us and those maybe for the first time who want to step up and give a gift. I want to say thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much. Let's continue on up to Ohio. Curtis, we appreciate your patience, buddy. What's on your mind? What do you have to share with us?
Well, this has been going on for almost a year now. I have a 31-year-old daughter living in a house that we own and hasn't paid rent and want to evict, but wife is totally against it with a 4-month-old baby and significant other living there and not knowing what to do, asking the Lord for wisdom.
Yeah. Well, you certainly need that. James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, let him ask. And certainly this is an area where you need great wisdom because clearly on one hand, you don't want to enable bad behavior and almost reward someone who's not following God's plan with regard to their finances and honoring their parents. On the other hand, we realize you want to provide for your family, and we've got a little one in the equation here as you have not only your daughter, but her baby. And so I think this is very challenging. As you just assess her ability to care for herself and the baby, what is your assessment at this point of her situation?
Well, 6 days after having the baby, she had a brain bleed and went to ICU. So she's lucky to be alive, and she's a miracle that she's alive. But she hasn't been released to go back to work. But this not paying rent was previous to having the baby, so...
Okay. Well, I think the first thing is, again, for you and your wife to make this a matter of prayer. Second thing is to make sure that you both are on the same page about the plan moving forward. And that's going to take open and intentional communication. So you are of one mind with regard to how you approach the situation, whether you decide to exercise tough love or whether this is a time to be lavish in your generosity toward your daughter. I think, you know, one step I would certainly take is to sit down with her face to face and say, listen, we love you. We want to support you and your baby, your child, our granddaughter, and we need to come up with a plan here. And so part of our continued assistance in this situation is going to be predicated on several things happening. One, you learning God's way of handling money. Two, you progressing and you're demonstrating you understand how to handle your finances, which includes you getting on a spending plan. Showing that to us, beginning to manage your money wisely, including some rent in that plan and making good on that. And to the extent you're not willing to take these steps while we continue to provide assistance, there are going to be consequences, and then lay out those consequences, whatever those might be. But again, I think you all have to have that plan going into it. A couple of additional thoughts. One is you could involve a third party if you feel like that would be more helpful. And so you could say part of this this plan is you getting with a MoneyWise Live coach who is going to walk with you and over the next month is going to help you put a plan together that you're going to present back to us. And so it gets you out of the details of that, but it does have someone who's godly who can help put a plan in place, walk alongside her. That would be one option. The second option is you give her a period of time where you say, we're going to be willing to help for X number of months. And at that point, our support is going to stop unless we see the following things. And so I realize it's difficult, especially when there's a child involved. And so this is a time for you all to be prayerful and as husband and wife, communicating very clearly as you develop this plan. And we'll certainly ask the MoneyWise Live community to be praying for you in that.
Yeah, Curtis, thank you very much. I like your advice there, Rob. Obviously, the baby does complicate things. The other question you have to ask yourself, husband and wife, is it a situation where they won't pay or that they can't pay?
That's right.
And you're right. Sitting down and trying to work out a budget, having a conversation with them, as parents, sometimes the dynamics make that difficult. So involving a third party, perhaps a budget coach would be a good thing there. And again, you can find out how to contact a budget coach when you visit our website, Curtis, which is moneywiselive.org, and there's no charge for that, and perhaps that would help the situation. We're glad you called, and we'll pray that God works that out. Thanks very much. Indianapolis, Indiana. Hey, Terry, what's on your mind today?
Well, first, let me say I really appreciate your program and biblical wisdom that you share on a regular basis.
Thank you.
Secondly, the reason I called, I've been a general contractor for over 30 years, done work for many wonderful people. However, it's been my life experience that some claiming to be Christians simply don't feel any responsibility to pay their bills.
Yeah.
And case in point, one particular individual I did work for, $5,000 worth of work. They never had the money, yet they were able to buy three new cars, take their family on great vacations, and, you know, go out to dinner on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
But, you know, they just never had the money to pay the bill. Totally happy with the work.
Yeah.
No complaints. I'm just curious how you feel that situation like that should be handled.
Well, I think you've got two situations going on. One is where we give to someone, and the other is where we're in business with someone. In the case of giving, we just have to be prayerful and decide as the steward of the money whether the Lord is leading us to do the giving, and then we've got to leave the rest to Him regardless of what they do with it or how they're living their lifestyle. In a business situation, we have to know our customer. We've got to be prudent. We're stewards of the business in addition to the resources that God has entrusted to us, and part of that is making wise decisions. Now, we may decide to be gracious and give or not collect in certain situations because we want to bless someone, but in other cases, we have to collect in the right way.
And Terry, with that, we're going to have to say goodbye because we're up against a break. We appreciate your call and wish you the very best in that regard. Thanks. We're going to pause briefly and then we'll be back. This is MoneyWise Live.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Is there a place for you in heaven? Find out when you read Heaven and the Afterlife, a one-volume set of Erwin Lutzer's hallmark works on eternity. Heaven and the Afterlife lifts the veil on eternity and reminds us that this world isn't all there is. This book will challenge you to seek what cannot be lost before it's too late. Heaven and the Afterlife, available online or at your favorite Christian retailer. For more, visit moodypublishers.com.
What you reading, Josh?
Oh, Today in the Weeds. Helps me grow weeds.
But weeds grow by themselves.
I suppose. What are you reading?
Today in the Word. Because Christians don't grow by ourselves. I mean, we need the Word of God daily.
Maybe I should get out of the weeds and into the Word.
A fresh passage of Scripture and a devotional that helps you live it out. That's Today in the Word. In print, podcast, or email. Free at todayintheword.org.
How did you feel the last time you made a not-so-good decision? As Pastor Andy Stanley points out,
our decisions are like the steering wheel of our life, and so you get decision-making right, you get life right.
In his new book, Better Decisions, Fewer Regrets, you'll learn 5 critical questions to apply to every decision you make so you can feel confident you're getting it right. Request your copy with any gift to MoneyWise of $25 or more at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President-elect Joe Biden receiving his first dose of the coronavirus vaccine on live television as part of a growing effort to convince the American public the inoculations are safe. The president-elect took a dose of Pfizer vaccine at a hospital not far from his Delaware home just hours after his wife, Jill Biden, did the same. A new COVID-19 relief bill shaping up in Congress, including individual payments reaching $600 for most Americans, and an extra $300 a week in unemployment benefits. Votes on the bill in the House and Senate expected today. Stocks ending mixed on Wall Street as a new, potentially more infectious strain of the coronavirus has countries around the world restricting travel to the United Kingdom. The Dow gained 37 points, the NASDAQ was off 13, and the S&P dropped 14. This is SRN News.
I worry.
You're listening to MoneyWise Live. Find us on the web at moneywiselive.org. But today we're not live, so if you hear that phone number, please don't call, but do stick around. Lots of good information ahead. This indeed is MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore, and we go to Rapid City, South Dakota. Hey, Alan, we appreciate your stick-to-itiveness and your patience, sir. How can we help you?
Well, I'm 61 years old. I'm a self-employed professional. We have grandkids in another town, Oklahoma City. That's a big magnet for us. We've looked at buying a second home there and want to transition there eventually. I was wondering about the advisability of taking some money out of my 401k to try to pay a greater proportion of the principal down on that house, that second home, so that we could save interest. I wondered what you would think about that.
Yeah. Alan, were you looking at taking a loan from the 401k or just a distribution?
Well, I thought I could probably take a distribution without a penalty, but I would have to pay the tax on that money, right?
You would. And what is your age?
61.
Okay. Yeah. So you would not have a penalty, but you would have to pay the tax on it. So tell me about that. How much were you looking to pull out?
Well, we're looking at homes in the 400 range, so we would pull out about 100,000. I have about 100,000 cash that I could put down.
Okay, so you'd put down 50% loan to value. 100 of it would come from the 401k, 100 in other savings. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, and what is the total value of the 401k?
The 401k is probably only worth about 200. And I have a second investment account that has about 200 in it.
Okay. And is that the extent of your retirement savings, about 400,000?
That is, yes.
Okay. And as you look at retirement down the road, have you done some planning and some projections just to say, based on what we know today and what we feel God has called us to and our lifestyle and expenses and where how long we want to work and how we're going to serve Him and be near family, which I realize is part of the reason for the second home. Tell me how you feel like you're doing just in terms of the overall savings goal you have, what you've been able to put away to this point, what you intend to put away in the future. Do you feel like you're on track, ahead, or behind?
Oh, I feel like I'm behind some of my peers. But I think that's okay. We've taken time out to do some missions work. I took 2 months out last year out of my job and was in Africa doing work. And I'm happy about the fact that our business income, actually, we made $50 more this past year than we did the prior year. And that's with me being gone for 2 months.
Yeah, great. Well, it sounds like you've prioritized serving the Lord, and certainly it's not all about the amounts in our accounts, and I wasn't saying that at all, and I'm grateful to hear the work that you've done. I think the key, though, is that we recognize that saving is affirmed in the Bible, and although we shouldn't adopt the cultural view of retirement in the sense that we accumulate as much as we can during our working years to retire to a life of leisure, nothing wrong with leisure, but we realize that our calling is throughout our entire lives, which you know full well as evidenced by your service to the Lord. And so we save, but we save primarily because we want to be able to focus our energy during that season on whatever God has for us. And there may come a day, will likely come a day for all of us where we can't work. And so we want to have the ability to provide for our families, ourselves, and a spouse, any other dependents during that season. So I think the key here is if you can afford the debt service on this second property, if you feel like clearly the Lord's leading you to take on this second property, then I'd rather you keep the money there invested for the long term and not pay the tax now and not give up the growth, the tax-deferred growth that you can have over time. That's assuming that you can cover the debt service on this second property and continue to do the things you need to do with additional retirement savings and giving and things like that. If you can't, I think you've got a decision to make on, do we really feel like this is where we need to go with this second property? And if so, we just realize that by taking this money out, not only are we going to have a big tax liability, perhaps you could spread it over two tax years, that may make some sense, but also we're going to have less that's growing for us and working for the future. And we're going to have all these additional expenses from this second property, property taxes and maintenance and upkeep and those kinds of things. So I think those are the decisions you need to make. But my first choice would be, if you feel like this is the direction you want to go, let's try to leave the money there and let it work for you and see if you can fund this additional home out of current cash flow.
Yeah, that's probably doable. I suppose I'm giving away the fact that I'm a bit of a bear with respect to the current market, and so
sure,
my 401k investments yeah, are tied to the market.
Sure. Well, hopefully you've been rewarded over the last decade in your 401k. And, you know, I think that the stock market has been, over the last 100 years, the very best place for us to be, with greater than 9% average annual return going back that long. So time is on your side. You're still young for all intents and purposes, even though you should be getting more conservative now. But I think the key is really praying through and thinking through that decision.
Alan, we hope that helps you. Thank you very much for calling in today. Keep us posted. We'd love to know how God works that out for you. Thanks. Rob, what do you say we try to do a couple of emails here, all right?
That sounds good.
All right, let's begin with one from Skip. He says, "Dear Rob and Steve, I have $125,000 in cash. How can I invest it in a CD, a bank, or Vanguard?"
Yeah, he's probably been listening to the program. Skip, you can invest this in a CD very easily. In fact, over $25,000 going into a CD, you're going to get the very best rates. I would start by going to bankrate.com, and put in the amount of the CD, the duration you're looking for. You're looking for 18 months, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and then see which banks with FDIC insurance are offering the most attractive rates. You'll find a number of them, and shouldn't be any problem linking that new bank, probably an online bank, to your checking account. You'll be able to just ACH transfer the money in, initiate the CD, set up your online account, and you are off to the races.
Now, he has an interesting follow-up here. He says, won't depositing $125,000 in cash create homeland security questions?
Well, there are some new rules that came out several years ago, actually a number of years ago now, related to know your client, where when you're making certain deposits, they have to ask questions. But it's not these questions aren't going to be voluminous, and it won't create any problems. You'll just have normal questions that any financial institution would ask when you're opening an account.
Okay. Next email is from Kim. She says, we just sold our house and paid off all our debt. When we tithe the profit from the sale, does it all go to our church, or can we, quote, spread it around?
Yeah, Kim, great question. The key is here, the profit from the sale. When we're talking about a house, make sure you're looking at the true profit after the expenses. Of course, subtract out the initial purchase price and any improvements. But then I would see this as your increase. So I'd treat it just like any other income you get and tithe 10% to your local church.
Okay, sounds good to me. Hey, you're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. Today's broadcast is pre-recorded, so we won't be taking any calls, but we have some calls lined up and some great information coming your way that I think you'll find usable at the very, very least. This is MoneyWise Live. I'm Steve Moore. We'll be right back.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Siri, I need some advice.
What's up?
I have questions about planning for retirement, long-term care insurance. I don't know where to start.
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you find those answers and more.
Really?
Sure thing. You can ask your questions within the app and access helpful articles and MoneyWise podcasts.
Sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. The sights and sounds of Christmas are like a soothing salve on the open sores of America being torn apart with hatred and anger and violence, the antithesis of the message of Christmas. No one has clean hands. That's why God sent his only son, Jesus, to manifest his love among us and to sacrifice his life for us so that we might receive his gift of eternal life, regardless of what we've done, simply by asking his forgiveness and recognizing him as Almighty God, the creator of everything that exists. Who's not desperate to have God's gift of love and peace in our hearts and in our world this Christmas season? And for those of us who have that joy and peace upon us every day of our lives, our mission is to always share his love with everyone in every possible way. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. For help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
How do you reach people who call themselves Christian but don't know Jesus? Find out by reading The Unsaved Christian. Dean Ensera was a cultural Christian. Today, he pastors a thriving church, and he wrote this book to offer starting points that lead to deeper conversations. You'll be equipped to confront cultural Christianity and lovingly share the gospel to the cultural Christians in your life. Cultural Christianity is a huge mission field in desperate need of missionaries. Get your copy of The Unsaved Christian at moodypublishers.com.
If you're feeling that it's time to make a change in where you work, maybe you should investigate the possibility of a position with Moody Bible Institute. Moody Bible Institute is looking to fill a number of full and part-time positions in education, at Moody Publishers, and Moody Radio. you'll find positions in management, clerical, professional, and non-skilled labor. It may be worth your time to take a look at the more than 40 position openings available now. You'll find each job description online at moodyjobs.org. That's moodyjobs.org.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today on MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Today's broadcast pre-recorded. I think we mentioned that earlier, so don't try to call in. But we do have some interesting calls all lined up, and they might even be asking the same question you have. So let's try. Tampa, Florida. Hello, Paul. What's going on?
Yes, sir. I am about to turn 62 and be eligible for Social Security. And I know everybody always says that I should wait until I'm as old as I can be to get it. But I'm wanting to cut back my work hours and possibly do more volunteering and other things of that nature. Mm-hmm. My wife has an income, and I was wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Yes. It's a great question, Paul. And, you know, I think you need to see it as a resource that God has provided to accomplish his purposes. So, you know, just the fact that you're going to take probably around a 25% haircut, if you will, on that monthly payout when you take it at 62 versus full retirement age, I think that needs to be weighed in with your other goals and objectives. What is God doing in your life? And as you said, you want to be able to volunteer and go do other things. So you could essentially lock in this income stream, yes, at a reduced rate, but you could start it now, which would free you up to be able to go do the things that you feel like the Lord is calling you to do. I can't argue with that. I think that's a good thing. And so we don't always need to look only at the financial implications of something. We've got to weigh the financial with the other piece of this, which is, I think, what you're driving at. So just recognize kind of the reality of it, that you're giving up, you know, every year you don't wait until you're closer to full retirement age. You're giving up that higher payout for life. But if you've done the math on it, you've got your budget set, you feel like this will meet your needs now and into the future with the minimal cost of living adjustments, and it'll give you the freedom to pursue what God has for you, then I would say go for it. Tell me your thoughts, though.
No, that sounds great. That's exactly what I've been thinking. But like I said, every time I look something up, listen to you guys, talk to anybody, it's don't take Social Security until you have to. But, you know, I've got a pension coming, which I didn't think I was coming, which is going to start also at 62. So I will have, and like I said, my wife works full-time for the federal government, so we'll have her income and we'll have her insurance. That's what I was thinking. I just wanted to bounce it off somebody that knew what they were talking about more than me.
Paul, is there any chance that you could move from 50 to 60 hours a week and cut that down to, well, at least 40, if not a little less, and then hang in there a little bit longer that way? Would your employer be open to that?
Well, I'm a gig employee, so I have to take the work that's there, and in those types of jobs, it tends to tie up a lot of your time even when you're not working.
Gotcha.
Because you have to be available. So when I'm looking, you know, I work 6 days a week sometimes, so I can take Sundays off and spend more time volunteering at the church rather than feeling the pressure to go out and work. Those types of things.
I love it.
We say go do it, Paul.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
God bless. The gig economy, boy, I don't think we talked about that a couple of years ago. All of a sudden, we've got a whole new terminology when it comes to working. Interesting, huh?
Yeah, we've got Googles and gigs and all kinds of things going on that we didn't have years ago.
Let's go over to Alabama. And Mary, what's on your mind today?
Hi. I just recently, after doing some long, hard research into a couple of insurance policies that we had with a major insurance company for many years, realize that some of the things y'all have been talking about today, and wanted to get out of those policies. They were costing more and more, and well, I just needed to get out of them. And so I have recently withdrawn the cash balances in those policies, and am immediately putting that money into new insurance policies with another major company. Now, I know that I'm responsible. We're responsible for the taxes on that, for the federal taxes. But I was wondering if that worked like a anything like a 401k, if we're immediately taking that money and putting it into another policy, would we still be responsible for federal taxes? And if so, or if not, what do I need to do to make sure everything happens the way it should?
Yeah, it's a great question. And if you are rolling this into another policy, Mary, you do need to consider, and I would talk to a tax professional about 1035. So Section 1035 of the tax code allows you to roll over a cash value tax-free to either a new cash value policy or to an annuity, and basically just carry over your tax basis, and then that would just continue growing in that new policy. So that would be what you'd want to do. But again, you'd want to get professional counsel on that. So I would connect with a CPA. If you don't have one, you could find one there in Alabama by going to our website, moneywiselive.org. Just click find a CKA, and you're going to want to look for one in the tax accounting area. If there's not one in the tax and accounting space, you'll want to contact another certified Kingdom advisor there in Alabama, and then ask for a referral to a godly CPA or accountant that can help you. So you want to do this right, but if you do, I think you will accomplish the exact purpose you're describing here. We appreciate your call today.
Yeah, thanks very much, Mary. I think we have time for one more. Randall is in Anderson, Indiana. Rob?
Hey, Randall, we're so glad you called today. How can we help?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I'm just wondering about term life insurance. Over 35 years ago, we signed on to a term life policy that had about $50,000 on me and $25,000 on my wife, and then there were other things on the children. However, they've grown up and left the home. We still work for the same organization but are based here in Indiana. And the term life that started out at around 17 a month has steadily grown to where it's knocking at $100 a month. And that just seems kind of high priced when I'm about 2 years out from retirement. And we do have a retirement with the organization. They have insurance on us. It's just a $40,000 policy on my wife and I. And I'm just wondering if this thing has priced itself out to where I need to really just drop it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. I mean, we want to get to the place where we no longer have a need for insurance and we can take that expense out of the family budget. I think the question is just, would there be a hardship if either one of you were to pass away during this interim between now and when you plan to retire? But if not, if the assets are there and that retirement could kick in, then yeah, essentially, if you don't have any dependent children or anyone, you know, other than you and your spouse that are counting on each other, and you've got provision for those assets that would replace any income, then you no longer have a need for it. And especially given that it's getting more and more expensive, this would be a real opportunity for you just to drop that death benefit.
Yeah, that's helpful. I, you know, being 2 years from retirement, then I would have access to some of the retirement funds, at least. Right now, they're kind of locked away and don't have a lot of extra, you know, savings set aside for in the event that something would happen. So I don't know, maybe hanging on to it for just a little bit longer until I have access to those other funds.
But yeah. I think that would give you some peace of mind. I mean, the other thing you could look at would be just to see if the term has reached its end and it's now in the level term portion has run out and it's starting to increase, you may be able to get a new, like, 10-year policy, level term policy on your life and your wife's for less money, for the same amount of money. You may not, but it'd be worth looking at. But if not, then I think just continuing this until the point where it is no longer necessary and can be dropped would make sure that you're protecting your family, you and your wife, in the event of either of your death, and at the same time not spending unnecessarily.
You know, Rob, there's such a thing as being a house poor, meaning typically that your house payment is so large that you can't afford to pay your other bills, or it's just, you know, it's tilting to the wrong side. Is there a possibility that one could be insurance poor, that you have so much life insurance on yourself or another family member that you really can't afford some other important things and it just doesn't make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And so I think we're always balancing offsetting a risk with what fits into our budget on a monthly basis. And we've got to always be looking at those things, making sure we have the right coverages. And it's got to fit within the context of limited resources that we have and an overall budget that's accomplishing our goals and objectives over time. So, yeah, you bring up a great point there, Steve.
You know, thinking back a couple of years, I don't remember the exact time and date, but I can remember getting calls from listeners where the death benefit was in the millions of dollars. And the question always was, well, why? Why does your spouse need millions of dollars if you pass away? And there were lots of different answers. One was, I want to be generous. One was, I want to help her. One was, well, I don't have anything else to leave this person, but I'm not sure it's always the wisest, best thing to do. And I guess you just have to pray about it and get godly advice.
Well, I think that's right, but you also want to make sure that you have the proper coverage. So, you know, we will say, as a rule of thumb, have 10 to 12 times your income. So think about somebody who's making $80,000 a year. They're going to need $1 million in coverage. Now, that might sound like a lot, and why do they need that much? Well, the question is, what do you need to have so that it could be invested in such a way that you convert that into the same income stream without depleting that money prematurely? And it takes a lot of money, unfortunately.
Always great information, Rob. Thanks very much. And with that, we're going to have to bid you adieu for another day. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Visit us online if you haven't had the chance. It's moneywiselive.org. Thanks. Join us again next time.